So my name is Adrian Kirkpatrick, and I am Director of Urban Planning at ADG in Oklahoma City. Our firm, ADG, has a longstanding relationship with the City of Norman on the program management of their Norman Forward package. And so we were asked to go ahead and assist them on this RFP process as well. So we'll be staying involved throughout the selection process. My co-host today is Lisa Craig. Lisa, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Lisa Craig. I'm the CDBG Grants Manager for the City of Norman, and we are a CDBG and home entitlement community, as well as receiving COC funds and ESG, although not really on an entitlement basis. So I want to introduce Michelle Evans and let her talk about what she does as the homeless coordinator for the City of Norman.
Michelle, before you start, let me do a couple of housekeeping things. One is that we are recording this meeting, and it is our intent to get this uploaded onto the project website, hopefully this week, but we still need to work through the logistics of that. And then also, I think everyone pretty much is muted, but please do mute your devices when you're not speaking. So Michelle, take it away.
Cool. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks, Lisa. As the homeless coordinator for the City of Norman, working directly under Lisa and the CDBG program, I am the lead for the continuum. So what that means is all of the agencies who actively participate within the continuum of care. And what we do is leading the path to end homelessness and seeking the solutions, the partnership, and the pathways for that. So we work with a lot of wonderful agencies, and it's a constant moving target. So I'm happy to be here and be a part of this process.
And then our other esteemed city colleague is Jane. Jane, do you want to say hi real quick?
Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm the planning director. I work closely with Lisa and Michelle, and they are a wonderful team. So I look forward to seeing what we can get going on this.
Thank you, Jane. When I'm usually in your seat, I like knowing who else is on the call in case there might be partners in the midst. So I am going to briefly, because we have a small group, I'm going to walk through the firms. I hope you don't mind just unmuting yourselves and saying hi real quick and who you are. So I'm going to go alphabetical by those that requested the link, starting with Analytic Insight. Leslie, do you want to just say hi real quick?
Hi, I'm Leslie Ogilvy. I'm Senior Research Associate with Analytic Insight, and we are currently finalizing a homelessness action plan with the City of Oklahoma City.
Thank you. Leslie, do you have anybody else from your company here?
Yes, Amy Flowers, President of Analytic Insight, is also on the call.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Thanks, Amy. Next up, I have Focus Strategies. Did anybody make it from there?
Yeah, hi, this is Kate Bristol. I'm the Director of Consulting at Focus Strategies. We're mostly based on the West Coast, and our firm does a lot of strategic planning with communities and homelessness. So okay. We're really interested in hearing what you all are thinking about doing.
Thank you, Kate. Megan Helmo?
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, sorry. Yep, I'm Megan Helmo. I'm joining from Equivolve Consulting, where I'm a senior associate, and interested in learning more about the opportunity along with some of our colleagues who are working in the field of homelessness. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Megan. Do we have anybody from Homebase? I think I see a familiar name there.
Yes, my name is Anya Giuffre. I'm the Grants and Proposals Manager for Homebase. We are based on the West Coast in San Francisco, doing a lot of work again in strategic planning, and we're excited to learn more about this opportunity. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. James from JQuad.
Hi, everyone. I'm James Gillian with JQuad Planning Group. We're based in Dallas, Texas, and our focus is housing, urban planning, and community development block grant management.
Thank you, James. Next, I had Management Partners. Anybody from there that made it?
Yes, I'm Jan Goldstein. I'm a senior manager with Management Partners. We do consulting all over the country for local governments, and we do a lot of strategic planning and also have done a lot of work with homeless housing associations.
Thank you. And then I have Marvel Architects.
Hello, I'm Ishita Gore from Marvel Architects. I'm the senior urban designer for our firm based in New York City, and we've been involved in strategic planning for homeless shelters and supportive housing in New York City. So we're excited to see how we can help.
Thank you. Polish Production Consulting. Anyone? Don't see a name that matches. Public Policy Associates, I think you had more than one person on the call.
Sorry, I was looking for the unmute button. This is Nancy McCrohan. I believe I'm the only one here from Public Policy Associates. We are a full service research firm, and I am the director for Healthy Communities Policy there at Public Policy Associates.
Thank you, Nancy. Eric Schooner, I don't think he made it. Strategic Value Solutions.
Yes, I'm Megan Holland. I'm with Strategic Value Solutions. I also have a colleague sitting here with me, Mallory Robinson. Sorry, and we are a value engineering firm, but we also do a lot of strategic planning, a lot of federal work, along with some state and local city governments. So that's for us.
Thank you, Megan. Then TAP Architecture. Did we have anyone from TAP? Okay. We the People Consulting?
Sure. My name is Kendra Wilson Clements, and I'm the president of We the People. We do a lot of strategic planning and community development planning as well for federal, state, local governments, as well as our sovereign nations, our Indian tribes here in Oklahoma and across the country.
Thank you, Kendra. And then the last one I had was Czar Consulting.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I'm Lisa Czar. I'm a CEO, senior consultant. On the line with us also is Randy Harrison. He's one of my senior consultants. We have a team across the United States, and we focus on strategy and planning all the way to program execution at the federal, state, local, K-12, higher ed, and commercial enterprises.
Thanks so much. Did I get everyone? Is there anybody else on the call that I missed? Not seeing any red microphones turn off. So, okay, thank you so much. I know that took a little time, but I just like to make sure that everyone knows who else is on the call. We'll go ahead and jump into the questions. We do have some written responses, but I think we'll go ahead and let the staff also chime in if they want to. That was the one thing I did not open before the meeting. Hold on one second. Okay. The first question is, what is the number of COC member organizations? Lisa, do you guys want to, you or Michelle want to address these?
Okay, yeah. Michelle pulled together a bunch of information. There are 41 organizations in the continuum of care. I need to clarify that we're OK 504, which covers the entire county, Cleveland County, and not just the city of Norman.
Okay. About how many individual representatives across all COC organizations should we plan to collect input from?
There are 23 organizations on the executive committee. We would anticipate that all 23 would get interviews, as well as an interview with the Coordinated Case Management Committee, which is 10, 12 different organizations, multiple people. That would be more of a group setting, talking with the Coordinated Case Management Committee.
So those 23 would be individual interviews, to be clear?
Yes. Yeah.
How many states would you like to see represented in the comparison analysis?
Michelle, I'm going to let you handle that about the peer cities. Obviously, we'd like a comparison analysis with Oklahoma City and Tulsa. even though population-wise they're a little bit different. But we also have several peer cities that that we have worked with over the last several years, and I'll let Michelle explain those.
Yes, certainly. So to add to what Lisa said, our peer cities we work closely with, we're part of a Built for Zero. That's a national initiative under Community Solutions. So we partner with them very well. We have since, 2015? And our partner cities, it's really important because the population is very similar to ours. So are the solutions, the homelessness. And we added that those areas are Roanoke City and County, Salem, Virginia, Rockford, Illinois, and Lincoln, Nebraska. So they are the closest communities as far as college town, homeless population, and all of the relevant data that I stay in contact with pretty closely.
All right, thank you. Are you open to alternative methods to gain input from TOC members?
Certainly, I think in this time, pretty much anything works. So
we didn't fully understand what that was getting at, but there were several questions about how to do this study in the age of COVID. So let me address a couple others and see. Will in-person meetings be required during the course of this project?
Like we talked about, Zoom meetings, phone calls, however, really the only in-person thing that we are going to request at this time is at the completion of the project that there will be an in-person presentation to the Continuum of Care and City Council of the results of the study. Those can take place on the same day. So
those would be two separate presentations, but part
it's
of the same trip.
Presentation, yes.
Okay. I think the next question we've kind of addressed, but under the circumstances of the pandemic, is the city willing to conduct meetings and individual interviews through video conferencing if necessary? I think the answer is yes, we're open to that, except for the final presentations. There was a question about the number of page limits for the RFP. We didn't specify it in the document. I don't think we're going to issue a formal update to the RFP for that question. I would just say informally, we would appreciate it if you try to keep it under 50 pages. The RFP provided reasons for the differences in the annual point in time count. The city took over providing the temporary winter shelter this last fiscal year. However, it was being operated prior to last year. I would expect the unsheltered number to be similar as the sheltered number is. Can the city explain the substantial drop in unsheltered people during the fiscal year 2020?
Michelle, I'm going to let you go into, we kind of crafted up a response that we'll get up on the website, but I'm going to let Michelle kind of go into the difference between our by name list and our point in time count.
Do you want me to start from the beginning? Because that's a big difference. So yes, it's kind of big, but it was a lot of information to share. So we'll start with what Lisa and I had started from last year, the winter in 1920. The city of Norman, we took over the operation of a winter shelter for the very first time. Previously, the shelter was operated by one of our larger COC-funded agencies, and that's Food and Shelter, which is a local homeless service provider. They had operated the shelter since about 2010, and in September 2019, they just finally announced out of the blue that they were not going to have a winter shelter, which was going to be an issue of unsheltered individuals. So the previous shelter was low barrier, operated in the dining room of the facility, very tightly spaced, no separation of male, female. Sleeping on the floor. The belongings could be brought inside, one bag. There was a staff member that oversaw it. Check-in was conducted sporadically. So basically there was no formality to this type of shelter. Although it was low barrier, there was just no structure to it. There were issues because there were no security on site. So the police department was being called over there regularly. And of course the criminalization of homelessness was the last thing we wanted to get into. So that brought us up to indicating and that the data is very important to us when you're having a winter shelter. As many of you know, you want to be able to capture the data. So that was very important, and that was very difficult for them to maintain. So the shelter that the city of Norman operated, it was still very low barrier, but Lisa, Craig, and I, we knew from the beginning that it had to be a low barrier, safe, focused housing shelter. So with all those components, We quickly, within a matter of weeks, crafted together a safe place, making sure we had case management on site. So over the course of the operation, we had 52 people housed. And how we did that was, when we started that, we hired a security firm, which by the grace of God, we had the funds, thanks to our police department. So we were able to do that. We had a company supply the blankets, and we also had a cleaning company. And so every night we were able to get solid data of these people staying there. So it wasn't just an overnight shelter. It became a very housing focused shelter. So the difference with that, and we're going to segue into the pit, the point in time, there were multiple teams throughout the day. Of many of you, if you are aware of the yearly counts, the point in time mandated by HUD. So the day of the pit, multiple teams throughout the day visiting the known areas of congregation in the encampments, the count was low compared to the by name list. So because of the robust system we have built over the years within our COC, the BNL, as we refer to, the by name list, is, it's our community's pulse point. And that's to ensure everyone who touches our system as homeless gets accurately assessed, counted, and tracked. And I think tracked is the key word here as well. So the BNL is an ongoing, carefully monitored list that I do through this office, partner with our partnering agencies, contributing the names and the information so we can prioritize the individuals and families according to many of the HUD factors. So the list is not just, as compared to the pit, a one day or one night snapshot of homelessness. This is an ongoing active list that is worked and reviewed continuously. So the by name list allows our COC, all of our partnering agencies, whether they get funded through the COC or not, they're a partnering agency, to understand how the individuals move in and out of our system on an ongoing basis, and recording accurate real-time data to measure how successful we are at ending homelessness. So throughout the COC, we do that daily basis. Homelessness, as we all know, is a dynamic person-specific problem, and that changes from night to night, from person to person. So a single point in time data, such as the point in time, is insufficient to help local partners in a community respond quickly to this constantly shifting issue. So we would say, Lisa and I were like, that was as close as we can condense that, is the differences between the pit and the by name list. So the by name list is that rapid feedback loop that we have. We know how many people are experiencing homelessness in our community at any given time. And we know that it is vital to keep the actions and the resources available for our partners to respond at a moment's notice and to implement policies and strategies. So it's the essential compass to every community, ours especially, in order to make decisions that we need to quickly. And we believe that it's the emerging lesson of tried and true lessons from our sister partners and our partners across the nation to be the most successful form of a formalized, accurate list of who is homeless in our community.
So Michelle, go ahead and tell them that the results of the winter shelter was that there were 51 people actually housed, which was amazing, that were patrons of the warming shelter. And then there's about 350 people on the by name list. That's actual names of people that have been assessed. Not all are chronic. Some are at risk for chronicity depending on time on the list and everything. But like Michelle said, this is a living, breathing list that is very, very accurate, that weekly gets a rundown. So,
yes, thanks for adding that, Lisa.
I received a question while Michelle was responding. We have written responses for most of these, and we can try to finish up the last few questions we've received with written responses, and we can post those as well to the website if that's helpful. So the next question. The really juicy one: how does the lack of a bond initiative of the four propositions from August 25th negative vote affect Norman Ford and the scope of this RFP? So for those that have not seen, all four propositions were voted down last week. I will say that the homeless one only lost by about 200 votes out of 23,000. I've watched a lot of social media, and there were a lot of people that were big supporters of that. I think we found ourselves in a much larger political situation in Norman right now. We saw a tremendous turnout on Tuesday. Like any college town, Norman has lots of strong opinions on both sides. But I think we felt like this, even without that $5 million in hand, that this study was valuable regardless. And if anything, we feel even more committed to trying to figure out what the built solution is for Norman. To some degree, there might have been a little bit of the cart before the horse, and we would have been happy to receive that money, but the challenges still exist for Norman, and we still need to find some of these solutions. So I think speaking for staff, we talked about this yesterday, I think we feel like once we come back with a stronger study, that we will have very strong support for the study. And I think that's really backed up by a lot of what I've been seeing in social media and hearing from residents, is that they just wanted a clearer plan on how the $5 million was going to be spent. And so I think we all feel really positive about the future of this. Anything else, Lisa, Jane, Michelle, on that one?
Yeah, I want to add that the $5 million figure, to be perfectly honest, was an arbitrary number set by someone else, and by no means would be limiting with this study that you got to find a solution for $5 million. So.
Right. Get back to the questions. Although the city included a budget, we did not see a specific request for cost. Does the city care if we include a cost estimate with our proposal? If we are to provide a project cost, is there a desired format? So we've had a lot of discussion about this. For this initial round and the proposals, I think we just want the confidence that you feel like you can achieve this in the range of the $100,000 that we identified in the document. We did not put it as a scoring factor in the proposal rubric. However, I think we would expect for anyone that's shortlisted in that next phase of consideration that you would come back with a more detailed breakdown of cost and how you can achieve it in the $100,000 range that we identified. And then the last question was, please provide a title or person to whom we can address the transmittal letter. Lisa, did we say that was you or Jane? I can't remember. You're muted.
That's Jane.
Okay. So Jane, you'll send it to Jane Hudson. And Jane, what's your official title again? You're muted, Jane.
I love it. Mute, unmute, mute. Director of Planning and Community Development.
And we'll write that up too. So we have some additional time left. We didn't really plan on taking additional questions, but we also want to try to be as forthright and open as we can here. So are there any additional questions that today's conversation has brought up or that you did not get a chance to ask? Jan, you're raising your hand. Please.
I am. They're just logistics questions. Do you have a goal of when you will upload the questions and answers or the addendum?
Lisa, I'm feeling like we would try to get it done this week before the holiday. Do you feel like that's doable?
Yeah, I'm thinking we could probably have them up by the end of the day. So.
Okay. And then my other question, last one, is will the addendum include the attendees that were on this call?
Yes, I can make my best attempt to record who all was here. There are a couple names I don't recognize, and I'm not sure where they came from, but I, everyone that identified themselves, I will, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted an additional clarification on the pricing in the proposal. So we won't present a formal price quote, but I understand you that you want a confirmation that we believe we can complete the work within the $100,000 budget.
Yeah, I think just some evidence that you have thought through that, and that if you're putting this forward, that you agree that's doable.
Thanks.
Anybody else? All right. Oh, wait.
do have a question.
Okay.
In terms of existing documentation, when we start, if we get to start the project, what support can we expect from the city to provide existing data outside of the comprehensive plans that have already been listed?
You know, anything we have, you're welcome to. Just let us know, you know, what you have. I mean, what you would like, and we'll let you know what we can pull together for you.
We've already, I think we already, just in writing the RFP, I identified a few other things that I've shared with staff that I think would be helpful. But yeah, I think we would appreciate your input as well if you're selected. All right. Well, I'm not seeing any other questions. Staff, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good. I appreciate all y'all taking time to consider this effort.
All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone. And a little early, but I hope you have a good holiday this weekend. And we'll be working on getting the rest of the information up this afternoon.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.